The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here is your host, Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler. And we are talking about how do you select the growth strategy that's right for your business today. Over the last, it's been 28 weeks, something like that, we've covered how to grow through acquisitions and franchising and equity deals and channel control and customer service and organic, and it's a long list. And I've gotten some calls from people saying, okay, now you've given me some specifics about how to do each one. Now, how do I pick, when I look at my situation, how do I play the consultant and how do I diagnose and select from the group? Great question. That's kind of fun. I mean, that's how a consultant like me has fun, is it's almost sinful to get paid to be as nosy as I am. I can get to stick my nose into situations and kind of poke around and go, aha, here's what we might try. So we'll play consultant for the show today. Let's look at a couple situations. These are typical things that I've been brought in to see over the years, and I've noticed that there's a pattern. A lot of times the big pain that's going on, it comes in two levels. The short-term agita, the things that are repeated on a day-to-day basis, the things that are sucking you down, keeping you distracted, taking the resources, and it kind of takes the energy out of you. It also, you know, robs you of some IQ points. And then there's equal and I guess comparable pain in the big picture things of where is the company going? Why are we doing this? Isn't there something better than this? You know, other people seem to be getting the big accounts. Other people seem to be getting the big bucks. And nothing in the between. And yet a lot of the solutions that people go for, that business people do, they go after something that would affect the middle. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, on a day-to-day basis, there might be some short-term small things that need to be done and some big-picture purpose questions that need to be addressed, major strategies. And yet a lot of the strategies that people try to do are only going to affect the middle and don't help you with the short term and don't help you with the big. So they'll go to like an advertising agency for a brand new marketing campaign and never have addressed the strategy or never have addressed the cash flow problems. And so they're just mad at the advertising agency and that doesn't help. Or they spend a lot of money on a quality program to improve the SOPs and now we're going to get up to Six Sigma and we're going to be perfect. Yeah, well, if you haven't figured out the major positioning of the company, you don't even know if your clients care about it or will pay you more money for having done that. So I've seen an awful lot of the mid-level, that's what I call mid-level, almost tactical solutions applied when people haven't, you know, stopped to look at the big stuff and the little stuff. When our company is brought in to help with strategic planning, I often have to work on the two planes of the short-term and the large, you know, the large, longer-term, big-picture kind of thing. And what I've noticed is that I have to do it in one of four ways. Because most people who are growing a business these days, you know, you can't wait for like the strategic plan to get done to address the short term. So you got to work on these short term plans and long term plans simultaneously. The first way we've had to work has been what I call insight. In other words, the big problem that's going on with the client has been they've really lost track of their marketplace. They don't really know what customers are wanting. They haven't figured out what percent of the market share they have. They don't know why a customer would be hiring someone else instead of them, and they're guessing all the time. So if we didn't do some like market research kind of parallel to the strategic planning to address that, the big picture questions don't get answered. So in some ways, let me kind of contradict myself. We have to work on three planes. We have to work on what's the short-term pain, you know, the symptoms that everybody's feeling, get that addressed so that they're not in trouble while you do, say, market research as you're doing strategic planning. And if you work on those three planes, if you really don't know what your market's about, then you can get some answers at the same time. A second way we've had to work, and this is just a mirror of the marketplace. It's not talking about how, you know, what we do. It's more of a mirror of what I've learned over the years. A second way that we've been having to work is what I call synthesis. Because if you haven't addressed the short-term problems and you don't, and you're having trouble with the long-term, a lot of times what happens is that the team building, the teamwork, the gelling of the group, are people on the same page? Can they talk to each other? Do they understand each other? Or are you just dealing with this aggravation on a day-to-day basis in the communication within the company? So, you know, if you don't work on a short-term problem and clarify the big picture while you're fixing the teamwork, you're just going to end up with a piece of paper for your business plan, maybe a short-term fix, and a bunch of people who quit. A third way we've had to work is what we call catalytic, and that is where you have to do some focused problem solving. Say a client has been not only with a short-term problem with cash flow, but it's been a chronic problem. They never seem to have any money for year after year after year, or they have chronic turnover, or they have chronic problems with hitting deadlines. If there's been a problem that's chronic, you know, there needs to be a focused problem solving that runs parallel to strategic planning and to the focused, you know, day-to-day problem solving. So the point of all that is, and I should say the fourth one. The fourth one's developmental. Developmental approach to strategic planning is when a client hasn't had any kind of chronic problems, any kind of market research gaps, any type of team building issues, and they're fine, and they just want to lift the organization to the next level. Now, that is the least common situation, but there's been times when we've been able to just focus on a short-term problem and the major strategic plan for the business, you know, the bigger questions, the long-term direction and such, just work on two planes and achieve what a client needs. That's kind of telling that, you know, most of the time we have to do one of the other three. Now, put yourself in that situation. Think about your situation right now, and you're going to play consultant. Which of those three or four approaches would you need to use right now? Say, for example, you have, what's a chronic thing that people, common thing that people complain about? Lots of companies that want to go for growth, one of the things that stunts them is that they have shrinking margins for their product. You know, every time they turn around, it feels like a product they've invested in has become a commodity. They think they're going to have a little bit of leeway and a little bit more slack to play with and experiment with and try something new, and they're right back where they were because the margin shrunk and the customers are shopping around and there's no loyalty. Can you identify with that? If that's your issue, is that a chronic issue? Let's just ask the question. Is that a chronic problem? Have you constantly had that happen to you? Then maybe it's about your process of selecting products, of analyzing how long to hang on to them, of finding new ones and introducing them to your process, and getting them up to speed quicker so that you can let go of old products and move on to new things. If that's been something chronic to your company, it's not just a matter of that one product that you currently have, then you would need to do some focused problem solving on how do we pick our products? How do we get them into the pipeline fast? How do we move them, replace them, keep moving, while you do strategic planning? If you don't ask yourself if it's a chronic problem, you might miss that you need some focused problem solving on that. Okay, second question. Is it that you don't have a sense of the marketplace? Okay, you've got problems with your product. You've got shrinking margins. Why do you have shrinking margins? Is there something about the marketplace where you haven't found out what they value? Is there some benefit you're not playing up that would make them pay more? Is there some premium that you could attach that the customers would think is exciting and make yours look a little more valuable? Could you attach some services? Could you package it a little differently? It doesn't necessarily have to stay a commodity. Okay, are you guessing? There's the question. Are you guessing what your customers and your potential customers would like? Well, okay. Before you go throw a quick fix on it and throw a lot of money at it, do you need to do some focused market research to get a better sense of the customers? An awful lot of us are so busy, and the marketplace keeps changing. Why should you necessarily know what's in people's heads? You got to go find out. When was the last time you did some survey work? When was the last time you had an objective company, third-party company, ask clients things? See it? Try the third one. Take a look at your team. You got, again, go back to the problem. You've got shrinking margins. How is the management of your company reacting to it? Are they addressing it or are they accepting it? Do they fight with each other about it? Do they point fingers at each other and blame? Do they go to you and say, ah, you lack leadership and I could figure this out? Do you have an erosion in, you know, how it feels on a day-to-day basis? Is it kind of boring or is it kind of flat? Is it kind of, you know what I mean, irritated? I mean, you can tell when you've got a team that gels or not. All right. Ignoring that isn't going to help your strategic planning. It isn't going to help you pull up to a different position. So you may need some focused team building. And there's lots of ways to do that. There's all different kinds of companies that can do team building, you know, for the executive group. And it may not be the executive group only. You may have middle managers that are uninformed and stranded and not even know how to play it. You got eroding margins, and they probably feel like nothing they can do will make a difference. If you didn't do as focused team building at the same time you're trying to do your strategic plan, you could be wasting your time on your strategic planning. Let's ask the last question. Okay, got shrinking margins, but your team's excited and they're ready to address it. And you know what the market wants, and you've got a good guess on what to do. You don't have any chronic problems with this. There's just something about this product that has a shrinking margin. Then you can go straight into strategic planning about, okay, how, and you do it fast. Don't do analysis paralysis. You could do a quick retreat and say, we've got shrinking margins. We're not going to accept it. What are we going to do with this product? How do we replace it? And move instead of have it drag you down so you end up with team building problems, lack of understanding of your market, or a chronic issue. You follow what I'm saying? See, now that's just using the beginning question of, do we have a team building issue? Do we have market research issue? Do we have a chronic problem before you go address it in strategic planning? After the break, I'm going to come back and we're going to look at how to cluster some of the growth strategies. I'll try another problem that's classic to people. We'll be right back. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler.
Business talk is all we do. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On Managing Technology the Right Way, we'll talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its associated risks. Heard every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Sun Jogal, the host of Managing Technology the Right Way, will interview business leaders and other experts that have shaped the way we use technology. If you want to keep up with the changing world of technology, listen to Managing Technology the Right Way with Sun Jogal every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Achieve total wealth management. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern on Business America Radio. Three-Dimensional Wealth is a show dedicated to teaching you a values-based approach to comprehensive total wealth management through practical strategies and expert advice. Take your first step down the road of financial independence. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
You're listening to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. If you would like to call into the show, dial toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome back. This is Aldana Ambler, the growth strategist, and what we're doing today is we're going to play consultant, and we're going to do some layering. So the first layer we just did was, how do you know which type of strategic planning you need to do? Do you need to do it in a problem-solving way, a market research kind of insight type of way, a team-building synthesis kind of way, or are you really ready for developmental where you just go to the next level? And you got to make your mind up, because they really are very different styles. And you're going to need different types of resource people depending on which one you choose. A catalytic, you're going to need somebody that's direct and will address problems, not yes you to death. On an insight process, you're going to need people who are leading it that are open, like to do research, are inquisitive, can make finding out new information fun. On the synthesis side of things, you need people who are safe, who can make the communication open and can diffuse conflict and get to the core of the issues and move on. So you may have a consultant that has all three of those properties or characteristics or qualities, but make sure you know the question at least. Okay, so now you're centered. Let's assume that you've asked that, and let's see what you're considering. Okay, let's pose another problem. Here's a real typical one that I see a lot. Salespeople fighting with operations. Sales folks complain. They're never satisfied. The operations people are too slow. They miss the deadlines. We can get out there and get more business if the stinking operations people would just hit the deadlines and do a better job. I'm so frustrated with selling to the customers and having them excited about it, only to find out we screwed it up one more time. You ever heard that? And the operations people go back, what are you guys promising anyway? You're out there saying to people that we could do it by tomorrow, and you never even checked to see if we could. Are you out of your minds? You know, I never even know what you're going to be promising to somebody. It's like you're not being realistic about what the business is about. And if you just listen to us about what we had in the inventory, you get it? All right, now that's classic. All right, again, is that a chronic problem with you guys? Because maybe you have to look at your sales process and your production process and figure out how to make sure they're both talking to each other and how you recruit leaders for both of those areas. I personally think that a lot of my clients have just been too chicken about who they hire for their sales management and their operations management. They have people who are over their head and don't know how to, you know, deal with each other. They just, you know, cut their losses and change the leadership of both groups. They'd probably be better off, but that's kind of a side observation. Or is it that you don't understand the marketplace? Because if the salespeople are guessing about what the clients want and just selling whatever they can get yeses to, it causes a heck of a lot of damage. So you may need some market research. Or is it the team building side of it where you just have a communication issue? You follow it? Now, while you're doing, I'm going to pick one. Let's say you've decided in your case the reason that your salespeople are complaining about operations is that they really don't understand the marketplace. They're selling whatever they can get sold, and they feel by their commissions they have to keep selling and keep moving even if you guys can't deliver. All right, which of the growth strategies that we've been doing for the last 20-some weeks would you even be looking at? Now, is it going to be the financial ones, like mergers and, loans? You know, would it be getting a loan, or would it be a line of credit? Would it be divesting a group? Would it be equity deals, an initial public offering, getting private investors involved, asking a venture capitalist to leverage you, going after angel money, going after sponsors? You hear it, you know it's not that. You are not going to address, or some people do, honest to God, I have seen people that think the answer to sales and operations fighting is to go get some venture capital money. I just can't believe it. You should see the proposals that come across my desk with people trying to fix those kind of problems with just money. Throwing money at it, no matter what the source was, isn't going to fix that. All right, so let's try another one. Is it a reorganization? Now, there's several growth strategies we've talked about over these weeks that are really about organizational issues. How is the company structured? Okay, would a merger help? Would an acquisition help? Would being aligned with other companies, a strategic alliance, help? Would a joint venture help? Would rolling up with other companies to become a bigger company help? Would a consortium be important? Would having different affiliates? Oh, now think about this. I don't know if I would jump right into a merger. But if you've got issues between what the salespeople think is possible, what they could sell more stuff and they're frustrated your production can't keep up, sometimes it's at least worth asking the question, wonder if we had more capabilities. I wonder if we could do more products. Because, you know, if you trust what your salespeople are saying, and that's a big if you trust what your salespeople are saying and there's more diverse needs in the target markets you're going after, what if you did have some alliances to help you deliver on it? What if you did acquire a small company to help with a piece that your operations people can't currently do? You don't necessarily take on a whole lot more overhead, but you'd be able to deliver what the salespeople were able to sell. What if you did get in and participate in a consortium and have some backup without the overhead? Maybe some organizational strategies could be I didn't say all of them would, but it's at least worth asking. You see it? All right, let's try some of the third category are the ones that they're primarily leveraging product. Things like improving your marketing, improving your quality, improving your service, introducing new products or going after new markets, diversifying, specializing, geographic expansion. Believe it or not, that's the leverage of product and service. Franchising, licensing, channel control. Now, would those things that leverage product, would they help answer the argument between sales and operation? Isn't that interesting? That, in a way, none of those, now at this point, to me, none of them, like, you know, licensing or franchising, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't answer that salespeople think they can sell more than operations can deliver. So of the three categories, of the financial stuff, the organizational structure stuff, or the leverage the product stuff, I would probably look at the things that are related to the organizational structure as some possible answers. Now, in the meantime, my guess is that you're probably going to need to look at the communications about between the two groups. You know, it's probably got some team building issue, if not meeting with that. But the primary thing that I would be emphasizing in that whole process is, where is the company going? What's the purpose of the business? Why are you in business? Is it what the salespeople are talking about because maybe they want to be diversified? Or is it what the operations people are saying, where they might want to be focused and they might want to deliver only a specific thing in a certain way? If you don't know whether or not quality is leading and perfection is leading and accuracy and thoroughness is leading, or diversification and a cut price, you're going to be having people fight forever. So I think you'd be looking at your overall purpose and potentially some structural kind of strategies. Does that help? Let's try another one. I'm looking at the time here to make sure I can do it. Yeah, I can do another one. Here we go, before the break. All right, how about a classic problem? You've got one large account. I remember an article in Inc. magazine, gosh, it must be back in the early 80s, I'm going to date myself, and it listed like the 20 classic ways to kill a company. Great article. And one of the ways, classic ways, is to be held hostage by another. Isn't that a great phrase? You know, you don't have to be held hostage by, say, an owner or an employee that thinks that they are indispensable and you're stuck with them. You can be held hostage by an account, especially if they have too large a percent of your business. Okay, here we go. Let's do the sequence again. You got one large account. Maybe they've got 80 to 90% of your business. And a lot of people have been there. If you're listening to this and say, oh, nobody'd ever do that. Oh, yes, they do. You'd be surprised how many people have one large account and then they're struggling to have it not own them. They may not have acquired you, but they own you. Okay. Are you trying to do strategic planning-wise? Do you have a catalytic issue? In other words, do you have a chronic problem? Oh, yeah. Do you have a need to do the inside approach? In other words, do you need to have market research? You may, because if you don't know how to get the other accounts and you don't know anything else other than that one big account, you might be pretty blind to what's going on. Do you have a team building issue? That's probably not the problem when you have one big account. Everybody's focused on pleasing that account. There might be some infighting, but in most cases I find it's more of the issue of the chronic problem. The chronic problem. So I would be doing focused problem solving on how are we going to get some other accounts in here fast. How are we going to put this particular client in proportion? And years ago, when I was beginning my company, as a solo consultant, I was going to land a $100,000 account with AT&T. It was a big account at the time. And I thought about this, and I said, should I swallow this watermelon whole? And I contacted the professional association, and the rule of thumb at the time was that no one account, no matter who they are, should have more than 20% of your business. So if I accepted that account, I was basically saying to myself I was going to become a $500,000 consultancy overnight. And was I ready for that? That's what that means if you take a big account. All right, so if you were to say, you know, you've got a $1 million account and they own you, or a $10 million account and they own you, to put them in proportion in your industry, first do some, you know, checks in the industry averages to see what your proportions are. In mine, it was a fifth, and somebody else's, it's a third. Let's say in your industry, it's a third, and you got a $10 million account. You really need to be a $30 million company quickly to not have that client own you. And if that's the case, now think about it. Wow, how do you transform your business to a $30 million company? You may not be able to keep that existing account on your way up, but you've already proven, because, you know, they get their nose out of joint that you, you know, that you're not taking care of only them. That's the risk you have. But you've already proven that you can handle a $10 million account. You know how to do that. So you probably know how to be a $30 million company and didn't even know it. Okay, ask the questions about the strategies. Is it going to be coming through, let's take the financial ones, loans, lines, divestiture, equity deals, IPO. Listen to this. It sounded like you had to just restructure. It sounded like you just had to sell like crazy. When you have a big account and you want a triple, to be able to put it in perspective, in proportion, and not have them own you, sometimes money is the answer. Could you get some equity deals with the key players so you spread your risk? Could you get a loan for you to be able to afford some of the salespeople that you need to bring in to go after the big accounts, the rainmakers? Could you get some, you see it? Yeah. It might be a financial answer. Okay, is it a structural question? Would you be acquiring a company? Well, maybe you can need to acquire an account. Sometimes you don't just buy your way into an account. You could acquire a company that has a comparable account. You've got all the financials and the administration and the human resources and yada, yada, blah, blah. An acquisition is a company in search of a CEO. If you got a CEO in your business, why not? You could acquire a company with a comparably sized account and keep moving. You don't have to agonize and grow it organically. So here we got a combination of maybe a little bit of leverage of money and a little bit of leverage from an acquisition. Okay, is it going to be new products, diversification, geographic expansion, franchise? No, 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 no. You get involved with those things where you leverage your product. It's too fancy, too fast, too much going on at the same time. To me, I would look for structural and financial answers. Okay, after the break, we'll try another one. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler.
Business information you need, from the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
One aspect of the American dream is a safe and decent place to live that fits within each person's financial capabilities. Based on the individual and the community, home may have very many different meanings. For details on housing issues, log on and listen to Let's Talk Affordable Housing with Ginger McGuire every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business. Are your accounts stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic? Are your finances flowing at 2 miles an hour? It's time to crank your cash into high gear by tuning in to Making Sense of Financial Nonsense with Bullseye Bruce Horowitz. Every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, Bullseye Bruce will give you no-nonsense, common-sense financial advice that anyone can understand, as well as bring you clarity on some of the most complex and confusing financial issues today. So get out of that traffic jam and listen to Making Sense of Financial Nonsense every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome back to The Growth Strategist. This is Aldana Ambler, and I'm going to repeat the number, 1-866-233-7861. Since I'm here playing consultant, you can pose your questions, and we'll try to address them. Some people are kind of chicken to go on the radio, and I get these emails on the breaks, or I get calls in my office. It's kind of funny. All right, let's pose another problem that I see happens a lot. Okay, you got customers that are whining. They're expecting too much. I mean, what they're asking you is, have you noticed this? Somebody sits at their computer, and just because they're sitting at email at a ridiculous hour, and they type a whole bunch of ideas, and they hit send, they think they have the right to give you an assignment. And that might not have been part of your contract. And they think, you know, they're going to just sit there and stare at the screen and watch for your response. Isn't it amazing? Or they call and they expect to have a whole bunch of stuff with no notice in between, you know, whatever you were assigned to do. It happens a lot. Technology has ratcheted up customer expectations big time. Okay. Is that a problem? Now, if your capacity is low, it's a big problem. It can be very frustrating because you're feeling inadequate. You're running as fast as you possibly can, and you have disappointed customers anyway. But guess what? If that's what's happening with your customers, first of all, it means they're thinking of you. It means they think that you have something to offer. It means that you're in their mind. It means that they have more needs. Oh. So instead of it being, well, I don't understand these stupid people. They try to come before we're open. They try to ask for more product. They demand this. They demand that. Wait a minute. What do you need to do to develop your capabilities? Now, okay, go back. What's the purpose of your business? If you are a solo, you know, a practitioner, like a website designer or something like that, and you are absolutely committed to only working so many hours a week, and you don't want to have any employees, and you refuse to have strategic alliances, and blah, blah, blah. If you had this happen to you, first of all, you're probably not the target market for this radio program because we're talking to mid-market companies about growing. But if that's the case, then you need to educate your customers about what your capabilities are, run the risk of them going away to other people who have more capacity, and be very selective about the accounts you choose and expect that you're not going to make as much money as somebody who's willing to invest in capacity. Again, that came from a question about what's your purpose? What's the purpose of your business? Okay, say that's not your problem. You're not over-invested in being isolated and small, and you actually do want to develop your capabilities. Okay, which of the three types of strategies would you be looking at? Let's try them again in sequence. Would it be money? Would you be looking for loans or lines or equity deals or IPOs or private investors to help you with that problem that your customers want more? Would having more money help it? Now, it seems like it would because maybe you could afford staff people that you didn't have before. Maybe you could delegate some of the things that you shouldn't be doing so that you would have more time to help customers. A little bit of money might help. Okay, what kind? Be careful. Don't give away so much control to the people who gave you money that it doesn't help. So basically a line of credit that's leveraged on your business might help. But going into deep, relationship debt, with a venture capitalist probably isn't a good idea. All right, but it's mostly not going to be money, believe it or not. All right, let's try the organizational structure stuff. If you've got customers that are wanting more and more and more and more and more and more, okay, would mergers, acquisitions, strategic alliances, joint ventures, roll-ups, consortium? Aha, maybe, especially if it's something that is flexible, something that where your customers are asking for different kinds of things than you were expecting that you should do or were interested in doing. All of a sudden, they want you to do not just the website, but they want you to design a system for them, or they want you to get into more of the marketing or the packaging, or they want to go beyond your capabilities and ask for a different kind of software. If you were affiliated with other companies that did those kind of things and you did mutual referral, or you had paid each other commission to bring each other in, you could have more of a response to those customers, retain control of the clients, but not necessarily have a lot of the overhead and the risk. Aha! All right, try the third type. Should you be looking at diversifying, specializing, having geographic expansion, franchising, licensing? Ooh, okay, now let's eliminate franchising and licensing. I don't think that's going to be it. I think it's probably not. It might be geographic expansion. Let's try it. If you had multiple offices, would that help your customers get what they need? Would it make them feel like that you were more responsive? Well, it may be if you had a clone someplace. A lot of times bringing in somebody who's exactly like yourself or the capabilities that you currently have in the same location won't necessarily have clients happier. Maybe what they're clamoring about or what they're demanding that you're feeling frustrated about is the lack of access. You'd have to get on a plane and you'd have to go take care of them, and they really want someone more local. And take a look at some of the professional service firms out there and what they've done. They've replicated their capabilities in the marketplaces where there's people banging on the door and calling so that they can service better. So maybe it's geographic expansion. Is it diversification versus specialization? Okay, now if you diversify more, are you answering? That's what your customers are telling you. They're telling you to diversify. They're saying, I want this, and I trust you. Go, please. What if you specialized? If you specialize and you say, I only do this, you could specialize in taking care of the account and make sure that you're the hub of finding the other services. So if you specialize, you're making a choice to let some of that billable time or that product purchase go, slip between your fingers. So I think that's a big decision about, go back, what's the purpose of your business? Is the purpose of your business defined by the kinds of customers that you want to help? And whatever they need, you make sure that they're okay. Or is the purpose and identity of your business to provide a specific kind of service? Boy, is that a huge question. I mean, we were able to just blithely, quickly say it, but listen to the power of that question. Is the purpose and identity of your business to help a certain type of customer? And whatever they need, that's what you're going to jump through hoops to find. One way or the other, if you get them calling you, the magic of your business is that they thought of you and they come to you. And even if it's nuts, you're happy. And you're going to be able to find something for them. Sometimes you directly provide it, and other times you're the conduit for it. Other times you're an alliance for it. But you just keep them coming to you. Or is it the reverse? Do you want to be known for a specific type of product and service? And you don't want to have all those distracting questions, and that means that they don't understand you. If you're starting to get agitated at your clients, it's probably that you've been unclear about your positioning. Now, just as an observation, I've been through this journey quite a bit, and it's you know, gone in and out, frankly. You know, at first I really did think that it was going to be a type of approach, or, you know, like what we did, whether or not it was our method for strategic assessments or our approach to coaching or our specific topic for a speech. And over time, and it really is one of those things where you look back, once you get the aha and you go, how did I not see that? Our positioning ended up being a type of client. You know, place in the market. You know, the mid-market companies that really do want to grow. You know, they're past the startup. They're past being micro companies. They really did commit to growing. They're not behemoths, but the mid-market people, like, you know, the 2 to 200 million kind of companies, that's a pretty big range, but, you know, somewhere in there. A lot of times it's the 20 to 100 million dollar companies. And they have a lot of needs. And we're thrilled if we get responses from people. We get questions from them. And we get asked for recommendations for books. We get asked for recommendations for headhunters. Now, we don't do the headhunting ourselves, although I got to tell you, over the years, I counted up one time. We actually got jobs for over 90 different managers because, you know, there'll be one of my clients would be unhappy. You know, maybe the marketing exec doesn't fit their particular culture and is looking. And I have another client someplace else, and they're looking for a marketing exec. You put the resume in front of them, and they're happy. And there's not a lot of fees attached to it. We're not a placement firm. But that's helped my clients a lot. Sometimes we get asked for recommendations for accountants or lawyers or technology companies. Now, I'm not an IT company, but we certainly know some good ones versus some bad ones. And our screening of various services has been valuable to our customers. I'm happy they call. You see it? So instead of it going, why are they asking us this stupid question, which is how it can initially feel, what the marketplace is telling you is that they see you as understanding them, which is a compliment if you want that. Go back to what's the purpose and the identity of your business. And something that's aggravating to you can suddenly become really good news. Gosh, I hope that helped you. So if you might not be looking at, you might be looking at a little bit of money. You might be looking at, say, some strategic alliances and some joint ventures to be able to serve your customers. And one of the main things you have to ask yourself and really make a decision about is, are you going to diversify with a focus on the customer, or are you going to specialize with a focus on the service? Interesting set of questions, huh? I'm going to try one more before the break. Let's see. How about you feel like your hands are tied? I have a couple of customers right now where they feel like this. I have one where it was an independent company and they've been acquired, and it's now part of a conglomerate. I got to be careful which, I can't say which industry it's in because that reveals too much. But, you know, they had an entrepreneurial president, and they had, you know, a business development person and an operations person that were go-getters. And one of the things that happened to them was the president used to have their own CFO, used to have their own HR person, used to have their own IT department, used to have their own, you get the idea? And now it's being pulled into corporate. And one of the problems is they want to grow. They want to develop the company. You know what? They got their hands tied. The more centralized that stuff is, especially when the CFO gets pulled back into corporate, they're not even in charge of their budget. This president, who's very entrepreneurial, frankly, they don't really need. This corporation is saying to them, we don't need an entrepreneur anymore. We really want a manager. You're just a plant manager. You're just a division manager. Do what we tell you. And I'm actually saying to this president, it's time to move on. The company that you're with really right now needs somebody that's in a holding pattern that tells them yes. And you're an upfront kind of make it happen, analyze things, experiment kind of person, and you're going to be miserable. And there's several people that are listening who think they are presidents of companies who are owned by bigger conglomerates, and their hands are tied, and they can't figure out why they're so frustrated. And the reality is, the corporation at this moment may not need an entrepreneur, may not appreciate your entrepreneurial spirit. And fighting with the powers that be isn't necessarily going to help you. It's probably going to alienate you, and you can get transferred at the worst time, and it could really hurt your career. And I would be saying to some people that sometimes if your hands are tied, really be honest about what's the cause. Okay, after the break, we're going to come back, and I'm going to foreshadow some of the upcoming shows in addition to finishing up some of the problem solving. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldona Ambler.
When business is in your blood and you need answers, get connected. Call 1-866-233-7861.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldona can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldona Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldona played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldona Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist? Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Think you've got a grip on the profit potential your property has? Tune in to VoiceAmerica.com Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for Commercial Real Estate 101 with Dennis Manning. Dennis will teach you the ins and outs of the massive world of real estate. You will learn the rewards and pitfalls of why to invest in commercial real estate. You'll also hear from experts in property management, lending, title work, tax-deferred exchanges, legal issues, and many entrepreneurial investors. The best part? You'll learn to generate a regular income that'll lead to enticing capital gains. So don't miss one moment of Commercial Real Estate 101 with Dennis Manning, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on VoiceAmerica.com.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
You're listening to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. If you would like to call into the show, dial toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to The Growth Strategist. This is Aldana Ambler, and if you'd like to contact me directly, we're at 1-888-ALDONA, A-L-D-O-N-N-A, or at aldana@ambler.com. Now, all right, we're going to pose one more, or you know, I hope I have time for two, couple more classic kind of problems that stunt growth, and we'll see if we can get closer to which growth strategy fits you. All right, how about you have high turnover? That happens. Okay, you thought you'd invested in some people, and, you know, there's a couple of key positions where they quit. Or every time you bring in one of the classic things I see is that the middle manager group leaves. Got one client that I'm dealing with. They have three partners, very aggressive in their growth, in a dynamic marketplace that's high demand. And the three partners stay, and they're really happy. But they're having a hard time with the managers behind them. Constant complaints about these people don't get it. And they bring in consultants to help the HR person, and they bring in another consultant to help the finance guy, and then they bring in another consultant to help the production people. Now, here we go again. Go back to the beginning question. All right, what do you think you're hearing? Do you hear a need for catalytic consulting, you know, strategic planning, where you would be looking at the chronic problem? Do you think that it would need to be an insight process where there's some research that needs to be done to give the partners some new information either about the marketplace or about themselves or whatever it is? Do you hear a need for team building, you know, where there's something lacking in how the leadership is done? Or do you think they don't have any of those three problems and they can just go develop and lift to the next level? Now, here's the irony of it. When partners sound like that, they actually answer that they think that they're ready for the fourth type. I don't know why that is, but it's true. Because, you know, if you're one of the symptoms of denial is how the middle managers can act. If the top group doesn't have its act together and is competing with each other, and is having conflicting direction about where the business is going, and is making things too intense, or captures all the glory and just dumps junk on the middle, a lot of times there's a denial about that. Okay, you know, this is our business, we're going to do what we want and keep going, and if somebody doesn't keep up with us, then the hell with them. You know what I mean? So my reaction is, yeah, I mean, I bet you when the symptom is that the middle managers just want the hell out of there, it probably means that there is some focused problem solving, there is some new insight that has to happen, and there is some team building that has to happen, but it's at the top. And the top group probably doesn't want to see it. So the first consultant or the first time you go through a process with that kind of company, they're probably going to kill the messenger, no matter what it is. Say if there's an HR person that does an internal survey, and the owners will look at it and say, nah, that's not right. You know, we're really wonderful, we're really marvelous, and those people are unappreciative. So they shoot the messenger. Or if the CFO comes and, or not CFO, but like say controller, does some information about how money is being spent or how budgets don't make sense or anything like that, they get shot. So unfortunately, I hate to be depressing about this, but what I've seen is if denial is the real problem at the top, it can get protracted. Because the middle of the road, you know, remember I said way back in the beginning, people try the middle solutions. If the middle solutions, you know, happen one after the other, and they feel like they're wasting money, if the top group isn't willing to see that they're the problem, it usually takes a pretty significant crisis. It takes loss of a big account. It takes a big fight among the partners. It takes not being able to get financing because a venture capitalist says, we don't like the way the partners work. It takes some kind of major crisis to get a group like that to face with their, how they're causing the problem. The group I'm thinking about, I'm in the position where I'm probably going to be the one that's the messenger that's shot. I can tell that it looks, I mean, that's what it looks like, is that there may be, you know, three partners, and I'm going to have to say, you guys are competing with each other. You're not in sync, and you don't even realize it. Here's why your middle managers keep quitting. Do you want to deal with this or not? And so far it feels like they probably don't want to deal with it, that they're perfectly happy fighting with themselves, and they've made enough money that they don't have enough incentive to really address it. Ask yourself, the reason I'm bringing it up, ask yourself, if you have that symptom of the middle group trying to tell you stuff, they want to do surveys, and then you deny it, and they tell you that other people aren't going to want to work with you, or key people that you thought were going to stay leave, turn over at the middle really screams that there's leadership issues at the top. Take a look at the dynamic at the top group and ask yourself, are you competing with each other? Do you have conflicting direction for the business? It really is painful for people who are working below you. It costs you a lot of money. You may think that it can't be addressed, but it can. And one thing that I would suggest for this company that I have in mind is that, you know, they might be better if they had separate sub-companies so they stopped fighting with each other and competing with each other. They could actually be in a holding company and do much better. So a restructuring is one of the answers when you have partners that are committed to working together but don't do it well. Doesn't that make you think? Well, I hope some of this has helped you today. I wanted to pose some of the typical problems that I've run into. There's just a ton, obviously. Just having flat affect around you is one of the things to look at as a symptom and ask yourself if it's chronic or if it's because you don't understand the market or if because you have a team building issue. Don't fix something before you really ask those kind of questions. In a couple of weeks coming up, we have some exciting programs, and I just wanted to, before I go off the air today, mention a few of them. On August 9th, we have a guest, Chris Starr, who's going to be talking about angel funding. And, you know, several of our shows have been about different kinds of money. We've had Julie Gorella on the program talking about private investment. We had John Martinson talking about venture capital. We had Karen Francini talking about government money. I have a show coming up about sponsorship. I mean, we are talking about how do you, you know, one of your strategies is to have, and we had Steve DePalma talk about equity deals. So I am, I have Chris Warren from Sun National talking about different kinds of bank money. So we are talking about different kinds of money. And I'm really excited that Chris is going to be explaining what's the difference between angel financing and other kinds of money. So on August 9th, those of you who want to know what an angel financer is, they're not all like Oprah Winfrey, but you got to hear the rules and how do you find one and what do you ask for and what do you expect. On August 16th, we have Dennis Bone, and I'm really thrilled to have him. He's Big Muckety Muck, that's his official title, CEO of Verizon New Jersey. And the reason I have him on the line is because there's like 20 reasons for Dennis. Very bright guy. No matter what the topic would be, you just have to listen to him. He is a problem solver, very clear thinker, understands the marketplace, and a lot of our businesses are driven by what's going on in the communications field, what's going on with wireless, what's going on with computers, what's going on with the Internet. It matters to all of us. And the decisions and the choices that someone from, say, Verizon would have, you may not identify with them because they're such a big company compared to, like, you and I, but their choices affect where you and I go and whether or not they would stay in New Jersey or go another state, whether or not they would, introduce a new product quickly or lay back, affects you and I. So I'm going to interview him about some of the major strategic questions they've faced in the last year and how those decisions have been made, and what are some of the decisions that they think they're going to be facing in the next year or two for you and I to hear the trends. It does affect all of us. And I'm hoping I'm going to get some of the people from the Avnet organization. When you're in computers services, like you're a solution provider, a couple of the big names that you'll hear, you know, the IBMs, the Avnets, and the Microsofts, et cetera, They have a big convention coming up in San Antonio in August, and we're going to be interviewing some of the solution providers and some of their business partners, and hear what's the difference between some of these people, and you know, when they're getting into services and products and technologies, how do they make those decisions? Because a number of the listeners are in technology fields, I want you to hear how various people in that industry make decisions and choices. You know what? My producer just gave me an instant message saying, we are in the Avnet building with CNN. Isn't that cool? I didn't know that. Well, the Avnet conference is coming up in August, in the middle of August, and I'm going to be interviewing some of their folks. Maybe it's going to be a few that my producer even knows. Okay, folks, I want to end with a couple of a quick thought about growing a business. It's a fluid type of thing. This is not something that just happens once and you make your business decision and you're done with it. You're going to think you're clear about your strategy, and then what happens is you get fuzzy. You have, you know, a drift is what I call it, right? Where you have vision drift. You used to know where your business was going. You used to know what was important. You used to know how to do your job. You used to be able to figure out the problems pretty quickly, and you were decisive. You know the feeling. You're real bright. And then over a period of time, you get drift. If you start having that glassy-eyed look, replay today's show. See if you identify any of those problems. See if you're picking growth strategies based on a new vision. If you do have drift, if you do have glassy eyes, talk to some people. Get somebody else to tell you what they can see. It's a journey. Enjoy it. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.